This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome someone I've been following on social media for many years. She's a former congressional candidate back in 2012 and a very, very informed person who has some of the best social media posts I've seen, and that is Jenny Warman. Jenny, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you on the show, and thank you for staying up late. You are in Oslo, Norway, so you're far away, and it's late in the evening there, so we really appreciate you coming on to kind of talk about some issues. And as you know, I unfortunately witnessed the Las Vegas attack. I'm calling it an attack because I don't know what it was, but we'll talk about that. And I videotaped it, and that video got shared over 100,000 times, or viewed, I should say, on social media. I just can't believe it. This story seems like a massive cover-up, maybe the likes of JFK, I don't know, but there's so many inconsistencies, and you've been following that story, Jenny, and I've just really enjoyed some of the things you've posted and articles you've shared and videos you've shared. What are your thoughts?
Right from the beginning, I thought it was very strange because he was 64 years old. Mm-hmm. And normally, I suppose you can go crazy at that age, but it's usually something that's very personally related, like a relationship, that kind of thing. There was just something right from the beginning that didn't add up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they immediately found the suspect, right. The lone gunman, the typical...
The Oswald.
The typical narrative.
Right.
As the days progressed, there was no CCTV footage. That was, I think, one of the things for me that was the strangest of all. I mean,
I couldn't agree more, so let me comment on that. Where are the videos of this guy unloading, you know, Stephen Paddock, unloading all of these guns and all of this ammunition from his car, dragging it all through the lobby of the hotel of Mandalay Bay, in the elevator? I mean, this stuff is, you know what people don't realize, Jenny? This stuff is heavy. You know, it's not like you stick all that ammo in a little backpack or in a suitcase. I mean, a normal commercial suitcase, the wheels would break. I mean, this is heavy equipment. And there's just no videos. And there's no video of him being taken out of the hotel in a body bag. There are just questions galore. So please go ahead.
Or even just checking in at the front desk.
Right. Yeah. Good point. And you posted something, by the way, which seems to have possibly been acknowledged, but I saw it from you long before I saw it in the media, that he actually valet parked his car 3 days before the check-in date. Now, first of all, if you have all these weapons, you're not going to valet park, right? But what about that one?
Right. That's the other thing that's very strange, is the timeline has constantly changed. And the check-in issue, that was Laura Loomer, the independent journalist, that brought that to the attention of everyone. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, then when they did the press conference with the police chief and the FBI, then he had to change the story based on what the independent investigators were, you know, throwing out in social media. So it seems like they're always playing catch up with independent journalists out there that mm-hmm. are giving the public way more information just based on asking simple questions and, you know, talking surreptitiously to employees at the Mandalay Bay. So it's pretty interesting how they're constantly on the defensive.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not handling this well. I mean, you know, if it's a giant cover-up, you know, or not, even if it happened just the way they're pretty much telling us, they're doing a terrible job of managing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're just making themselves look so guilty that I feel sort of sorry for that police chief, because mm-hmm. he stands there, you know, trying to keep his cool. And that FBI agent is staring him down constantly. And, you know, it's almost like you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Is he being threatened in some way? Or, yeah, it just all seems like a giant ruse, the whole thing.
You know, the question is, conspiracy theories are flying, and I constantly say that it's really, really stupid for people to marginalize the conspiracy theorist, right? I mean, some of them mm-hmm. admittedly are wacky. Okay, there's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But some of them are accurate. And I will remind our listeners once again that the United States of America was a conspiracy against England. Okay? So that, you know, there are tons exactly. of conspiracies out there every day of our lives. You know, it's no big deal to have a conspiracy. They happen all the time, everywhere. You know, where you're sitting at your cubicle, two people over at the water cooler or the coffee pot are conspiring about something, okay, in your office. So get with the program here. Just because it's a conspiracy doesn't mean it's wrong. Let's think here, people, instead of just marginalizing alternative theories. And we should be happy that there are these alternative theories and that people question things. I am so happy that people have cell phones with cameras nowadays, and you know, everything is recorded and videotaped, which is, you know, one more reason it's so shocking that we have so little coverage of Stephen Paddock, the alleged shooter. You know, I'm so happy that there's so many skeptical people out there nowadays. Hopefully the powers that be will not get away with pulling the wool over our eyes.
Yeah, it's just patently absurd. There isn't any place with more cameras probably on Earth than a casino in Las Vegas.
True. Except with a possible exception of London, England, which is the most camered yes. place in the world, I hear. What a terrible environment in which to live. But yeah, for a specific property, certainly a casino, a hotel, has more cameras than any place. And I mean, has anyone asked the media that question or asked the hotel? I mean, certainly if there was video, it would have been leaked. I mean, you know, someone would have been paid off. Someone would have gained access to that security camera video and released it, even if it wasn't officially released, right?
Right, which almost makes it seem like it doesn't exist, because yeah. it seems like the staff there are leaking things like crazy.
Right.
But, you know, maybe it's harder to get your, you know, maybe they just jumped on that right away or something. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah.
But, you know, if they wanted to convince the public of their story, they wouldn't even have to release very much, just a little bit, mm-hmm. just to show that he was there. But they haven't released anything.
Yep.
So it does seem very bizarre. I mean, on 9/11, they didn't show very much of, you know, the supposed hijackers, but they did show them
going through the security, right?
Through the security at the airport. There was something there. But here, you know, we've been given nothing. Mm-hmm. The other, you were bringing up conspiracies, and this I picked up from Zero Hedge. I don't know if you know that website.
Oh, but, yeah. No, I read yeah. Zero Hedge, yeah.
So apparently George Soros in August put a put option on MGM stock.
I saw that. That's shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, and also the CEO of MGM sold 80% of his stock, like just, you know, without any explanation, just a few weeks ago. So both those things, you know, seem like very, very strange coincidences.
They do. Now, I saw a couple of people arguing about that on Facebook, and I was just sort of witnessing their argument, and they said in counter to the MGM CEO selling stock, you know, they showed a chart of saying, well, you know, he sells stock, buys and sells it all the time. He just is constantly trading it. But there was never as much, as large a trade, I don't believe, as this one that was, you know, right before the attack. So that is highly suspicious. It's just amazing that there's no answers to any of this stuff floating around in the media, are there?
Yeah. Well, you can see at those news conferences, they just ask the wrong questions. Mm-hmm. You know, Laura Loomer, who got into one press conference, and asked about the timeline, but, you know, then they got all over her saying, you know, she was talking out of turn, she had no decorum, this kind of thing.
Unbelievable.
But she was the only one who asked any kind of a relevant question. Otherwise, it's just all fluff. They're not asking anything. Like, I don't think any of them have asked about the CCTV footage. They haven't asked why so many of the people that were there say there were multiple shooters. I mean, there's just been countless videos I've seen on YouTube of people that were there saying not only that there are multiple shooters, but at the event and around that area, but also at other places like at the Tropicana, outside the Excalibur.
That one is interesting. Now, the government, the police chief did respond to that one, saying that people were shot and they ran to those locations. Now, first of all, running with a gunshot wound seems like a pretty tall order. It would cause you to bleed out, you know, depending on, I mean, you know, obviously if you run, your heart's going to be pumping a lot more. It's going to make that worse. You know, that was his explanation for that. And of course, like I said before, I was there. I was at the top of Mandalay Bay. I was 25 stories above the alleged shooter. It sounded like more than one gun was being used. The sound was inconsistent. I'm not an expert, but to me, that's what it sounded like. Now, I've watched many of the videos, many that you've posted, and you just really pick some great stuff there. You know, I agree. There's a lot of questions about that. The one that seems to be the most valid is the possibility of another shooter on top of the convenience store nearby. That seems to be pretty plausible. The fourth floor shooter at Mandalay Bay, that theory, I don't know. That one doesn't seem like it is really as potent a possibility to me. What do you think?
I don't know if you've seen the video by a woman, Renee Downs, who was at the Bellagio.
Not sure.
She was at the Bellagio with her husband, who is a 20-year Marine veteran. And they said that people came running in and they heard automatic gunfire as the people came running through the door. And this was at 11 p.m., so, you know, well after everything had happened at the Mandalay Bay and the concert and everything. You know, her husband threw her down on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then they were all sort of ushered into another area. And then the next day, the hotel just comped them and said there wasn't any shooting here. But...
But we'll comp your room. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, she has, you know, a video from that evening from where they're all sequestered somewhere. They weren't allowed to leave the hotel or, you know, eventually they were let up to go to their rooms.
Yeah, many of my friends were sequestered until about 8 a.m. the next morning. And they weren't even hotel guests, so they slept in tablecloths. Many didn't sleep, you know, just in the foundation room at the top of Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. So she seems to me like a very credible witness. You know, she's, you know, it's just a gut instinct. You just feel like, you know, this is a person that's not, you know, some kind of crazy conspiracy theorist or. Right. And then there's a younger kid that had a video and he was there with his girlfriend. He was at the concert and they, you know, got out of the concert. Neither of them were shot. His whole story has a whole hour video on YouTube. And his girlfriend didn't even really want to talk about it because she was so traumatized. Mm-hmm. But they hid in some kind of a trash can or something.
Yeah.
And then a security guard saw them and didn't want to let them out. He wanted them to stay in the area for some reason. And they thought that was very bizarre. Mm-hmm. So he also seems very credible just because, you know, the detail that he goes into and some other things.
It's always good, I think, Jenny, to explore motivation. So first of all, Stephen Paddock had zero motivation to do this. And that's one of the things that makes it so suspicious. But when we talk about the powers that be and, you know, which one do you pick, right? Is it the FBI? Were they engaged in some gun running scandal maybe that went wrong? You know, is it another Fast and Furious type of thing? Is it ISIS or Al-Qaeda, Islamic radical? And the government would want to cover that up because of what? Because they wanted us to think a white guy did it, because they don't want to start a race war. One of the things that the media just fails to mention that is like blaringly simple and obvious. This was a Christian event. Okay. I have actually been to the Harvest Crusade event in Orange County, California, when I lived there years ago. And it was a Christian country and Western concert. Okay. And who's going to show up there? A bunch of white Christian people, right? So if that's the group you hate, well, this is a pretty good target. So the media just doesn't really mention that, which is odd to me.
I mean, yes, I agree. It's particularly odd, seeing as they've taken responsibility for it.
Yeah, ISIS claimed responsibility at least twice. Now, as I mentioned to you before, I haven't kept up with the news in the past week, but twice ISIS has claimed responsibility. And the government just says, no, that's not true. Yeah, I don't know. What are we supposed to think?
They normally don't ever take responsibility for things they don't do. They've done several other concert attacks, so it's typical of what they do. The Bataclan, and then the one in Manchester earlier in the summer.
In England, yeah.
In England. And yeah, and like you said, typical, you know, Christian white audience. And they've been saying that for years, that they're going to, you know, do terrorist attacks inside the US, and have already done several. So why they would just dismiss that out of hand doesn't make any sense. You know, right. They should at least fully investigate it. Like, why would they assume, they don't know everything about this guy, assuming that they're right about Paddock, how would they immediately know that he doesn't have any ties to ISIS, you know, instantly within the first
They knew that the same
hours.
Night. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Exploring the, you know, like some theories on the motivation of the powers that be to cover something up. I guess we'd have to know what they're covering first. And there's just too many question marks this early in the game, right?
Yeah, at the moment, I think it's just nothing but questions. I mean, they could have all kinds of motives. There's the financial motives, you know, that we talked about. And then there's also the motive of, you know, bringing in more of a security state, saying, right. Having the naked body scanners at every casino, for instance,
or and at every concert venue. Do you know that TSA has actually been hired as a contract vendor for some concerts? So people are hiring a government agency to come in and, you know, manage their private concert security. That's just shocking.
That is shocking. I didn't know that.
So maybe if you're on the do not fly list, for whatever reason, and some of the reasons are absurd that people get on that list, you can't go to a concert either now, you know? Wow.
Yeah, and of course, the person behind the body scanners is Michael Chertoff from the Bush administration, you know, that when they brought those all in.
So there's a huge profit motive for that one, right? So making things a police state, so you get the data on everybody, you can use facial recognition video at every concert, at every public event. Of course, you know, they can go under the guise of, we need to raise taxes to pay for more security. It's always under the guise of protecting us, right? A lot of motivations.
So we'll see if in a year they start installing these or trying to pass a law to make these mandatory everywhere. We'll see. But to me, the most likely scenario just seems like it's ISIS, just because they've taken responsibility for it. And that's what they do. I mean, they just, not ISIS, but I think Al-Shabaab just did a huge car bomb attack in Mogadishu. Uh-huh. I think just a couple of days ago, where 300 people were killed. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's not like they don't carry on like this all the time. So that just seems to me like the most logical explanation.
It sure feels like a terrorist-style attack. I mean, the methodology, everything about it just looks like, you know, ISIS would be a great candidate to carry out something like this, you know, just right on its face, like circumstantially, you know, even if you knew nothing at all, it feels that way. How are we going to get the truth here? I mean, is this going to be another one of these big mysteries where 50 years from now, we're talking about the grassy knoll and the Zapruder tape?
I don't know.
Unbelievable, you know.
We'll just have to see. But apparently, the mainstream media, since that last press conference on Friday, where the poor police chief almost had like a breakdown right in front of everyone and refused to take any questions. Mm-hmm. He was basically just on defensive mode about the whole timeline of the check-in and other things. So, yeah, since then there hasn't been a peep. So maybe they'll just stop talking about it and hope it all goes away. I don't know. It's really quite unbelievable. But it seems like there's sort of two factions within the FBI that are kind of battling it out. That's mm-hmm. what it's, you know, I've watched some stuff about that. You know, the people that are more behind the president and then the old guard that were more behind Hillary and Obama. So I think there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that, you know, we're not privy to.
Right. This one, I mean, you know, if it were a false flag for gun control, for example, and, you know, anybody listening, if you're not familiar with the concept of a false flag, look it up. You need to be familiar with this because they are all around us in all sorts of different ways. So false flag is a common practice for not just governments, for, you know, people in social situations. It just happens all around us all the time, false flags. But if it's a false flag to try and institute more gun control, this one seems like a bit of a tough one for the anti-Second Amendment people because, I guess it would be sort of a good one for them in the fact that you can't say, well, if the people at the concert were allowed to have guns, they could have stopped it, because this is very hard to defend against something like this if it were really just Stephen Paddock, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like the gun control people are getting a lot of juice out of this one like they did in Orlando, for example.
Yeah, they're not. And also, they're not really pushing that whole agenda. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It seems that somewhere along the line, somebody's really screwed up, you know, whether it was maybe a terrorist attack that they were, you know, supposed to stop, because that happens all the time mm-hmm. with the FBI, that they, you know, are following someone. I remember I listened to a whole story about and sometimes they get these really bad, what do you call them, the people that... that work for the FBI, that they maybe they committed some petty crime, and the FBI says, okay, we'll let you off this, but you have to go and do this. So they had, you know, some guy like that, and he infiltrated a very benign mosque in somewhere in Southern California. And, you know, it wasn't a radical mosque at all, of which there are many, but this one just happened to be, you know, not that. And this weird guy suddenly started coming to the mosque and trying to, you know, recruit people to do terrorist activities. And these guys were like, no, you know, we're not into that. And they called the FBI on the FBI agent. And so, you know, it was just a whole ridiculous scenario that ensued, too long to go into here. But, you know, they're always setting up these things and, you know, they don't always go as planned, or they have really incompetent people that they put in, you know, to do these things that aren't actual, you know, they're not real FBI agents. They're I can't think of the term for it right now, but
I just hope we can get to the bottom of this. It's, you know, it's such a tragedy. I mean, there are just stories flying and floating out there like crazy. And we've just got to start seeing some truth. I think we all mm-hmm. know, even if we're the last person ever to believe in a conspiracy theory, we all know it's just obvious that the government is covering something. Maybe it's not that significant. Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's the fact that they do a terrible job of protecting us, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might really be just that simple, that mm-hmm. it is an ISIS, wasn't, you know, an ISIS terrorist attack, that, you know, maybe they were following some people and they were going to stop it, and then they didn't. Yeah. You know, that's kind of what happened in San Bernardino.
Yeah, right.
It would be nice to get a little bit more information. And, and as I say, I think maybe what's playing into it, too, is some kind of internal
feud,
disconnect in the FBI itself, because it really does seem like it's so divided right now.
Very true. I couldn't agree more. Well, sticking around to see what happens and what comes out of this will be very, very important for everybody to keep watching, consuming alternative, non-mainstream media sources. Mm-hmm. It's great that we can still do that. And you know what is really disgusting and scary? I never even heard the term fake news until the day after Trump was elected. And mm-hmm. Google is the scariest company on the planet, if you ask me. I did an interesting interview with the author of a book called Search and Destroy, which was about Google, and this was way back in maybe 2012-ish. He was pointing out all of the things they were doing then, but now it's gotten worse. Facebook, probably the second scariest company on planet Earth, and they are taking down videos off of YouTube or de-indexing them. Maybe the video will still be there, but nobody can find it. And they get to decide, just like, you know, the state-sponsored media in North Korea, what we see by the way they show us search results. This is like Pravda in the former Soviet Union, for God's sake. It's absurd that they're sorting our news. I mean, these companies need to be busted up under antitrust violations because they are way, way too powerful. But the problem is, they're so in bed with the government because they've played the lobbying and political game right. And all they have to do is sell us out by sharing information with the NSA. And then they're not going to be questioned. You know, it's just a terrible situation we're in. And I just think that's going to get a lot worse. Our whole minds will be totally influenced by these companies. And that is really, really scary.
I think a lot of people are seeing through it. So that's the good side of it. I mean, both people on the left and the right, I'm seeing, are really questioning this event, which I think is interesting because in the past, it's kind of been, you know, either one side or the other. Mm-hmm. But now kind of everybody is just like, okay, you know, what's going on here? We can't believe any of this anymore.
Right. Problem is, if we can't see stuff at all, though, you know, I always talk, Jenny, about the concept of how you can't hear the dogs that don't bark. If we never see any alternative views in the first place, because we can't find them online. When you post something on Facebook, for example, if it's something that Facebook doesn't agree with, it just doesn't show up in other people's news feeds. And you have no way of knowing that. There's zero transparency. They'll just say, well, it's the algorithm. You know, you didn't get enough likes, so we didn't put it up in the news feed. There's no transparency here whatsoever. These companies keep all these algorithms completely secret from us. Nobody can know.
It is very bizarre because I basically see the same things over and over again. And I think I have about 4,800 Facebook friends. And there's, you know, things I never see most of the posts that people post on there. And it does seem like it's based on, you know, algorithms of what I like to read, you know, mostly news stuff. Like, I very rarely see anything about, you know, people's family pictures and things like that because I'm probably not avidly looking at
that. That's not what you're clicking on. But the thing is, the thing you will never know is you will never know what you don't see. And that is the scariest part. They are formulating our whole entire worldview through search results, whether it be in your news feed on Facebook or your Google search. I would recommend everybody use a search engine like DuckDuckGo. Just immediately, just get out of the Google plex because Google is a dangerous company.
Yeah, very. I've been thinking about that and you know, I probably will do that really soon.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Well, Jenny, did you want to share any social media links or websites or anything with our listeners before we wrap it up?
I don't have anything to share right now. If I do get involved in politics again, I'll let you know.
Good stuff.
But the only thing that I wanted to mention was the thing that's been in the news just in the last 48 hours is that the security guard that was, you know, the big witness has just suddenly disappeared. He was going to do a bunch of interviews on mainstream media. And then, you know, as they were waiting for him to literally just show up to the studio, he just canceled the interview and he hasn't been seen or heard from since. So,
This is so reminiscent of the JFK assassination. Right after that assassination, who knows what really happened? You know, there were like 35 people that just mysteriously died of a variety of causes. You know, there were some suicides, there were some car accidents, there were some overdoses. You know, if you want to stay alive and not commit suicide, don't become friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton. I'll tell you that much. because they have a high suicide rate among their friends. Isn't that odd?
Yes. I have seen that.
Scary stuff. Well, Jenny Warman, thank you so much for joining us today and keep thinking outside of the box. We really appreciate it.
I will. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.